You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And my beautiful wife is across the desk from me. We co-pastor this church in Stuart here that we have. It's soon going to be 23 years, and God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. As we mentioned always up front, that if you can't hear all the program and you miss out on something out traveling around or whatever, we offer CDs and tapes, and all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make a check out to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413, that's 413, in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34997 here in Stuart, Florida. So we're honored to be here with you, and we're coming into the close of this year. It's hard to believe, is it, Pastor Don? The time goes by so fast, and here we just went through Hanukkah. We did a lot of teaching about Hanukkah, and it was a special time also for the Jewish people. We can learn from all these appointed times and things that's going on in past history. These are all patterns to show us what we got going on today. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program, and we trust that you'll be blessed with what you hear, not because of Don and I, but because we're going to give you some things out of the Word of God that we can glean from, and it can cause us to understand deeper things in the realms of God, and that we can grow up and mature in the things of the Lord. And so we can benefit not only ourselves, but the people that are around us as well. Amen? So, Pastor Don, I think you got a couple things you might want to mention on the calendar or whatever, and then we'll do a little teaching here today. Amen?
Well, I tell you, the calendar is just, this year is just about
over.
We'll be starting another year.
It's hard to believe. 2016 is around the corner here.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. I want to say hello to everyone out there. Hope you had a wonderful holiday and Thanksgiving and
Hanukkah.
Those of you who
celebrate Hanukkah.
Yeah. Hanukkah, and like of course, we did. Many people will be celebrating, continually and celebrating up through the first of the year.
Yep.
But we pray that you have safety and you have a good family time. This is a good time to have family time. I was going to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We meet every Friday at 7:00, and then
Amen.
We also have meet on Saturday on the Sabbath at 4:00. And what are we doing this afternoon?
We're going to show a video. It's an incredible meeting that we were in quite a few years ago. It's called The Realms of God. You talk about the anointing of God. The presence of God just moved into that great big sanctuary where we were at over
at
Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
We were there, and it was just incredible.
We haven't heard. Incredible.
We watched this probably about maybe 6 years ago or so, but there's something about it. The anointing that was in that meeting is still on that DVD.
The anointing of God is always
there. It's always there.
It doesn't leave,
and you feel it. When you see it again,
right.
You feel it. I remember
feel
we were there.
We need the anointing.
What I felt like. It's amazing.
And we need the anointing. And, on Friday nights when we have our Shabbat and we spend that time together and we have community together, and we spend that time seeking God because we want that presence. We want
Absolutely.
To get into that presence of God that, you only can do when you just get quiet and you get with the Lord. And so we do that on Friday night, even as a church, as a body, congregation.
Joy forevermore.
That's right. And listen to some prophetic music. And, you know, you just get still. Be still. God tells us to be still and know that He is God.
That's right.
And that's when we hear His voice.
Hallelujah.
So that's, and then we will have a little meal, a little something to eat afterwards.
We always
and,
do, yeah.
Right, close and out close the out the Shabbat mm-hmm. and go home. And then tomorrow, on Sunday, we have our normal morning service at 10 a.m.
Amen.
Amen. So that's just how it is here in Stuart, Florida. At Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And I want to say hello to Ross Bonaudry over on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
And know that the building of Temple of God is going up.
Thank
and
you,
before
Lord.
Long, the roof will be on. And they will take the tent down permanently.
Permanently.
Take the tent down.
That's right.
Permanently and be enclosed inside the Temple of God. That's the name of the church, Temple of God. And we just bless them and thank the Lord for them. And for all of you out there that are listening to this radio broadcast and have been for many years, and maybe there's somebody for the very first time, Pastor Gene, that's going to be picking this up. Maybe
we
you're
have calls
down,
all the time, don't we?
Maybe you're driving down the 95 or the highway turnpike, and you happen to just turn on your radio, and here we are. So I hope you enjoy this. If you would like to listen to it again, or you can order a CD.
Or tape, whatever you want.
And we're also on the internet, so you can go and listen to us on the internet. And I'm going to give you the number in a moment. And so you can go and listen to this broadcast again on the internet. So it's on WCNO.com. That's the internet, WCNO.com. Of course, you that are listening to us are listening to us on 89.9 FM. So praise God for this 24-hour radio program that goes around the world. And we're just blessed to be part of WCNO. .com, here in Stuart, Florida, or actually in
Palm City.
Palm
That's
City.
Right next door to Stuart.
Yeah. Martin County. How about we say Martin County? Martin County.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give you the telephone number if you'd like to come visit us, or you want to speak with us, or you'd like to have some information. We do have the Torah portions that you can we have here that if you're looking to have one, we'd be glad to mail that to you. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Or if they want a calendar, we'd be glad to mail them out a calendar to send in a self-addressed envelope with a stamp mm-hmm. on it, and we'll mail you out a calendar. You'll see what we're doing here.
Because on the calendar, we do have the Hebrew months.
That's right.
So you can learn, and there's also the Hebrew alphabet.
That's right.
You can start to learn some of those things. And we need to start to learn some of these things because, you know, I believe that is the language. You know, that language, the enemy tried to destroy that language just like he's tried to destroy the Jewish people,
Absolutely.
Israel, and
all
Israel.
All down through time, yeah.
All down through time. But it has lasted, and it's stronger now than I believe it probably ever was. And even on the internet, you can find out so much about the words and the Hebrew words, and you can just basically Google and find a lot, so much information. And I just love the letters. I love to draw them. I love to look at them. 22 letters in the alphabet, plus there's some finals. You know, they even have typewriters with it. You know, it's beautiful, and they all have a meaning. Every single letter has a meaning. And the strokes and every single the way it's made is so important. I think about just the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, it's made of two yods and a vav. Well, right there, right there is a story.
In itself, yeah.
In itself, right there is a story in itself. And we think about, and they also have a number meaning. You know, they all have a number meaning. And the yod, or some people say yud, it's, you know, it's not that you pronounce it exactly perfect, because there's different people have different accents, and even the Jewish people pronounce things a little differently, I believe. So it's just that, you know, you become familiar with these things, you know, knowing that it's God and man joining. It's God joining with man.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, the hand of God joining with man. He reached down, and just like Yeshua, and he sent his son. And to come down here to bring us salvation. So
very important.
It's very important.
We say this all the time. You know, the most pastors in America say that every word in the Bible is important, but I hope they're in the right book, but a lot of them aren't. But anyway, the Jewish people in Israel say every letter and every word is important. So that's
every mark.
Every mark, everything is important. So they investigate that. And you think about, Don, I'm talking about the Hebrew language, how it was lost for all those years. And then what happened? Even before Israel became a nation, this was beginning to be restored. And I got a book that a lady gave me one time called The Prophet and the Prince, about the two people who are so instrumental in bringing the Hebrew language back into place. And we know Herzl was one of them that was well known for that. He was part of that. And a pastor that worked with him, and he died before it all came to pass, but he was instrumental in bringing it into place because it was prophetically spoken. So, but now the language has been renewed all these years. You know, Israel's been a nation now for a long time, since 1948. So it's amazing how God's restoring, isn't he? He's restoring.
Many non-Jews are becoming hungry.
Yeah.
They want to know the truth. You know, we got to go back to the ancient path.
That's right.
They want to know the truth. So many of them are getting hungry. So even if you just learn a little thing, a little bit at a time, you learn one letter at a time and how it's made and what it means, and you know, the power of the words, and you know, there's power in words. There's power in the definitions.
Right.
And so it is very important. It's very important. And, you know, God, even with the numbers, all the numbers in the Bible, they're all very important.
Mm-hmm.
And they all tell us that if we get an idea of what it means, we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph.
That's right.
Well, you know, Joseph was an interpreter of dreams.
Sure was.
Wasn't he?
That's right.
And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it was he 7 years. Now, why seven? Seven, you know, seven twice. And he told him it means that's 7 years. Both of those dreams were of the same dream. And sometimes God will give you maybe more than one.
That's right.
For instance, like at one point it's cows, maybe it's wheat, but it's the same story, you know, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm kind of getting off track here. Go ahead, Dr. Gene.
Well, you were talking about this. We're talking about how the Jewish language was restored. I'm going to read something out of Acts chapter 3 for you that are mm-hmm. home. I'm going to read three verses starting in Acts 3:19. Peter was preaching here. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." If you can remember when you got born again, boy, was there a presence there and a refreshing that came. I can remember my day. Now verse 20 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Now here's the key verse, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution." This word restitution also means restoration, "of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So a lot of things are being restored, and we know that the Hebrew language came also. How about the Jewish roots that we talk about so much? They're finally getting restored to reveal God's appointed times and how prophetically they are for our life even today. And people don't look at it that way, but we should, because it's so important. It's a pattern that he's revealing things. We talked about this man Antiochus Epiphanes the last couple of weeks about Hanukkah. And you know, Jude of the Maccabee, they just would not tolerate what this despot king from the Seleucid Empire was going to bring into place. And we know the Seleucids came out of Alexander the Great's empire that he had. And so this man came in and wanted to desecrate and just destroy the things that the Jews had put in place and that God gave them. And so he took everything away from them. But we had a handful of people with the Maccabees that stood up and said, "We're not going to tolerate this." And so praise God, they didn't. And so with God's help and grace, the odds were totally against them ever having this happen. But what happened? They won back the city. They reinstated their worship and everything, and that menorah that was lit, and there was only one flask of oil we talked about that would only last for one day. Well, God miraculously let that burn for 8 days during the whole festival, that time that they had. And so it's incredible, you know, when we see all what God's done. It's just marvelous, the things he puts in place. And so there is a huge restoration going on today in a lot of ways. And so we have to understand we're walking in some times today with GMOs, and we're seeing some people playing around with DNA and all this and trying to mix things in animals, and not only animals but humans as well. And so the key thing, we got to keep our eyes focused on God with his word. As we do, then we will grow up and mature, and those things will not affect us And so we will stay away from those. We're going to be the group like the Maccabees. We're going to stand up. We're not going to allow it to happen. And we're going to move on with God and have what He wants done in our lives, no matter if it costs our lives. Remember what the Scripture says in Revelation. We overcome Satan how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and not loving your lives unto death. That's it. They were not going to love their lives unto death, those Maccabees. They were going to fight to the end, and so God was on their side. So if we stand up with God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody can. We sing that song, Our God is Greater. No one can stand against you if you stay with God. And don't get rattled or shook up or concerned about all the stuff that people are reading today and all this stuff that's moving around. Well, my question is, if we look at all this stuff and spend a lot of time with it, what does that do for your spiritual growth? Does that cause you to grow up in a greater dimension than you should grow into? The Word of God is what's going to give you that dimension that you need to grow up and mature in the things of God. And so we lay down all these vain imaginations a lot of people have, and they're playing around with things today we know that they shouldn't be playing around with, because these things they're doing are totally abominations to God. And so we have to stay with Him. I'm not going to allow my genes or my genome in any way, shape, or form be perverted in any way, shape, or form by something I might put in my body or what somebody wants might want to do to me or to any of you. So we have to stand tall and know that greater is He that's in us than he that's out in the world. And we know Satan's out there to steal, kill, and destroy, that we will not tolerate it. He tried it in the Maccabees day. Never worked. He tried it with Esther and Mordecai. It didn't work because they stood with God. So we can go all the way down through history and see what's happened. And so we'll continue to remain in that place. And this is what this program's all about. We're raising the standard. That's what this program's been called now for 18 plus
raising
years.
Raising the standard.
Because we're raising the standard in the body of Christ. We're watering things down today with all the translations and all the rest of it. We're watering everything down. And people are accepting these things that we should never accept today because they're abominations to God. And the Lord spoke to me the other day when we were listening to a DVD from Jonathan Kahn. You know, he's talked about all these harbingers. A harbinger is a warning. That one of the major harbingers, I guess, that just came out just not too long ago is about this redefining marriage, same-sex marriage. This is a harbinger to America. It's a warning to us that God is not going to tolerate what's going on in this country much longer. And so we the body of Christ, we're the remnant, I hope, if you're really walking with the Lord. Not playing around with God, you know, just going to church one day a week and then the rest of the week you live like the rest of the world does. Know that you're pressing in with Him, wanting to love Him, find out more about Him. Get before
serious.
Him, be serious about God. Well, then we're going to be that group that God's going to take care of. And so we have to press in. And there is a remnant. The Bible says there's going to be a remnant. Now, I don't know what a remnant would be, but it must be a small number according to what the Bible says. So I want to be in that remnant, and I love the Lord, and I want you to understand that. That's why we're on this program called Raising the Standard, because we want you to find out more about God, and you'll want more of Him than anything else. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what kind of a service you're looking for. And when you go to church, you know, some people like a lot of fancy music and all that, and all the pomp. No, all we need to do is get together with the Lord in His presence, worship Him in spirit and truth, and fall in love with Him, hear His word, have the ministers do great teachings on things that people can grow up in, like the things about the Hebrew language and the things that we see with the prophetic realm and all that, to help us to grow up and to know that we're on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He must be that in your life. And so we're encouraging you here today to stand tall in this day, because I'm telling you, it's getting worse every single year, and every week it's something else. Every week it's something else. And so we got an enemy out there that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from the church. And we see this battle with this ISIS and the things in the Middle East that's trying to stop Israel and all that. We know what it is. It's a spiritual battle, but nobody in the news media or in the political arena will admit it, that it's a spiritual battle to take the souls of all Americans, all the Israelis, the Jewish people, any group. He's wanting to do that. And so we have to stand up and say, no, no, no. No, 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 we're not going to accept that in any way, shape, or form. He's not going to take the soul of this country. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, that the church will stand up and be the people of God that we're supposed to be. We see all through the scriptures how a small number of people conquered the enemy whenever he came. And so we have to stand in that place. Maybe you'll be part of it. You that are listening today, maybe you'll be part of it. You'll stand up and pray and get into that gap with the Lord and just bind and rebuke the things that the enemy's trying to do, trying to steal, kill, and destroy from people, that they might realize when they have God on their side, that all things will be possible and they will not be harmed. No harm shall go before them. I think about Psalm 91, right? That we'll be in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of Almighty God. We have to stay in that place. All the fears, we hear this stuff. Oh, you're going to go all the way through Jacob's trouble. All this, remember, Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's Israel's trouble, not ours. We got all this fear-mongering going on today. Oh, you better get ready. Here we go, you know. You better store up all your food. Go up into the mountains and hide for 7 years and all that. You can't hide from God and the judgments he's going to bring on this earth. So why does people think that way? I mean, look at the book of Revelation. Those 21 judgments over there in that book of Revelation all come from God. They don't come from man. The things we have troubles with today comes because Satan's working through men and women, bringing these things into the world. Like this, you know, with this DNA change and with the GMOs and all. Man's doing that, okay? But who's behind it? We know the enemy's behind it. But in the book of Revelation, when those last 7 years come, it's going to be from God Almighty. And we thank you, Lord, that we know you. And I pray with all my heart and thank you that we know the truth, Lord. And I pray for people to understand the truth, that time is not for the church. It's not for the ecclesia. It's not. It's for the wicked people that are left on the earth. They will not bow their knee to the Lord. I'll bow my knee anytime, any day, any place I'm at, Lord, to you. And I'll lay out on the floor before you. I have a humble heart before you. I want you more than anything else. And that's what we have to learn how to have. And if we do that, then things are going to go well with us. And so I think about the Maccabees, you know, Judah the Maccabee. Boy, I tell you, what an incredible man of God he was. And we're going to talk about Joseph here in a few minutes. What an incredible man of God Joseph was. He stood up against some amazing things that came against him. And he never complained, never griped. And because he walked with God, every place he went, he had favor with God and he was blessed. And I think about, you know, most people in the world, if your family had come against you like they did against Joseph, you know, no wonder we have separation, huh, in people's lives. Families have divisions and struggles over stupid, silly things that keep them divided, and they can't restore themselves with each other and all that. So we think of it. Look what he went through. So we should be able to be willing in our heart to say, Lord, change me. Help me to break down all the barriers in my family, that I will have no grudges, I'll have no unforgiveness, and we can break down this just like Joseph did in his day. Mm-hmm. We might read part of that over in chapter 45, what happened when he revealed himself to his brothers. They were in fear. They thought, sure, he'd probably take them out and kill them.
And, you know, not only Joseph, but what about the family of God?
That's right.
We are a family.
A lot of divisions.
By the blood of Yeshua, no matter what ethnic group we are, if we're born again, if we're part of the family of God, then we need to learn to love each other.
Absolutely.
You know, Joseph, I think that coat of many colors has a lot of, there's insight into that. You know, it's, you think about all the colors that God created. You know, Joseph was a picture of God's grace and his beauty.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, Joseph, I haven't read anywhere where he would get angry or he harbored any
bad feelings?
Any bad feelings against
Nothing.
His brothers?
Nope.
Or anything, even when they came together. You know, he wept on their shoulders.
That's right.
He wept on their shoulders. But, you know, I think about his mother. You know, we were talking earlier, and, you know, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her, and she was the love of his heart.
Of his
She's
life,
the
yeah.
one that he wanted to marry, mm-hmm. you know. But he ended up having Leah. But, you know, but
God had other plans.
God had other plans, but, you know, but he really loved Rachel. So when she finally did become pregnant, it's understandable that he would care so much about this child, because it was the child of their love.
That's
they
right.
loved each other.
Firstborn.
You know, he didn't really love Leah the way he loved Rachel.
That's right.
You know, they all had children, but his heart was for her. And so when she brings forth his child, really, it's like if nothing had ever happened with the others, with Leah or the other people that they had children with, this would have been the first son. So this was the first son between their love between the two of them. And so and him making this coat of many colors, you know, he had a special anointing. Joseph had a special gift, a special anointing. He's really a picture of Yeshua, isn't he?
You think about his name. Joseph means what? God will add. Joseph was a pattern perfect to Jesus Christ. Well, the one he's going to add, which he did add, was Yeshua the Messiah.
God will add.
Joseph was a pattern to him. Perfect man. He didn't, like you say, didn't grumble, didn't complain, never got upset, just
He fulfilled the call that God had on his life, no matter where he was at, no matter if he was in prison, in the dungeon, in the palace.
That's right.
You know, no matter where he was at.
Marvelous boy.
You know, on the field. You know, he was a young lad, 17 years old, when he was sent out with his coat on, with his coat of many colors on, to go and find his brothers and see how they were doing in the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know the story about what happened to him, and they had great jealousy. Why? Because he dreamed, and so they didn't like his dream, you know. And he also was an interpreter of dreams, and we read all these dreams that he interpreted. But I think about his name, how his name was how he was named Joseph. It says that God will add.
That's right.
Well, you know, his mother probably thought, well, she said here, God will add to me another child, another son. So another son, but, you know, it meant so much more. Because we think, oh, God's going to add this to me or God's going to add that to me. But God had such greater plans, the things that he was going to add to Joseph's life.
Yeah.
Even in troubled times. Mm-hmm. You know, God will add things give us things in troubled times. People think, well, you know, we're in troubled times. Like the Maccabees were in troubled times. But we got to remember, the Maccabees were priests. It says they were priests.
That's right.
Well, the Bible says that we are priests and kings.
That's right.
Aren't we? And even if
chosen generation, yes.
And even if we are a remnant, God has given us a call and an anointing to do great things for him.
That's right.
What did Joseph do? Joseph did great things. Great things. And, you know, you don't see him screaming and complaining or anything in any of the places he was at.
That's right.
Whether it was in, you know, good times or bad times. And he did. He fulfilled the call upon his life. And, you know, and he did what in the end time, you know, they did all bow down to him. And the Bible says that at the end, every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Every single knee,
whether in heaven, on earth, or beneath. That's right.
Every single knee is going to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, they didn't like that.
They were jealous.
They had jealousy, envy. You know, they were
jealous. Joseph was a humble man. He was humble, and he didn't let that bother him.
Nothing bothered him.
He didn't rail back at him or anything. He just left it alone. And so God took care of it.
So because of all of the things that he went through, God did add.
He
was able to bring all of his family, down into the best place of Egypt.
That's right. They lived in Goshen, didn't they?
In Goshen.
Yeah.
And they found favor. They found great favor there. And here he is, placed second in command over the king, under the king, given the king's ring and all these things, you know. But I think about his disposition and relating him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like
his attitude was always right, all the time. That's right. No matter what happened. Even when he was accused of that woman, you know, Potiphar, and what happened with Potiphar and all, he was put in prison.
And that's right.
Something he never did. You don't see one thing in the scripture where he complained or griped about it. And God And while he was in prison, God showed favor to him with the guards and all that, and look what he did with him in prison.
It looked like he was the perfect man.
That's right.
You know, like
Jesus was the perfect man. Yeah.
And he's, like you said, he's a picture of
Christ.
Of Christ.
That's
of
right.
Jesus Christ. And how we should be, and how we should be even with our attitudes and our situations and our thoughts.
With our families and all that we have to.
I know.
It's outrageous.
I know. So it's to read this story.
All the differences.
It just comes to your heart. How precious God is, and how much his father loved him so much. You know, his father loved him so much.
But you wonder at the end there when he showed so much favor to Benjamin, you know, the youngest one, with more food and more raiment of clothing and all that. Well, see, that was his younger brother. And Joseph really loved Benjamin. And that came from his real mother, which was Rachel. Of course, we know that Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. But it's incredible when we think about and the amazing things that God does with all this. And so, wow, what an event. This is not a story. This is an event.
Think about Jesus. He said, who is my brother and who is my mother?
That's right.
And, you know,
glory
to God. You just think so much about how
what our Lord said.
How good God is, and how he blessed Joseph, and how he blessed Joseph's family, even the ones that were ornery and disobedient and did terrible things. You know, because they were his brothers. They were not saints. They did a lot of things that were wrong. A lot of them did. Even Judah did things that were wrong.
That's right.
We read about last week. So this, you know, we're kind of following what the Jewish read is called the Torah portions, you know, and you can all do that too. It'll help you to read all of the first five books of the Bible.
And you'll see a new view, a new window you'll look through, yeah.
That's right.
Let's read some things out of the scripture, honey.
Okay.
This week I was reading in chapter 45 of Genesis, and this is when Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers when he did all the testing with them and had them go back to their father and all that, and he said that nothing was going to happen till his father allowed Benjamin to come back and all that. But let's start in chapter 45, verse 1.
And you know, I might mention that's when, let me just back up a little bit. Joseph was taken, Joseph was taken into Egypt when he was 17.
Right.
Right. And of course, he was put in charge right away. He was a young man.
Yep.
He had wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of wisdom. And so, and then of course,
and the dreams he had.
And then of course, you know, Potiphar's wife, you know, got him in trouble, and he was in the prison. But he had a lot of wisdom there.
Sure did.
And he was in charge in the prison.
Right. He found favor there.
And you know, and he interpreted dreams there.
Yeah.
And then finally, when he's going to interpret the Pharaoh's dream, he's around the age 30. So at the age 30, we're looking at now, at the age of 30, he was put in charge of all of Egypt.
Because, the governor of Egypt, hallelujah.
Right, because the Pharaoh had this dream one night, and there wasn't anyone to interpret it except Joseph. And he said, who else knows all these things? I'm not sure where that's at in the Bible, but the Pharaoh was saying, you know, who else? Because he was looking for someone to put in charge after he had given him this dream. Who else knows all these things? And so, you know, of course, he said no one but Joseph. So he puts Joseph in charge and gives him his ring and gives him all authority under him. So he has all authority over Egypt. Now go ahead where you're at.
I'm in chapter 45 of Genesis. Let's just read a little bit here. This is when Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers.
Now there was 7 years of good.
And
now in this part of it, now we're into when the 7 years of famine, I think we're into like the second year.
Yeah, we'll read this. The fifth year is going to be 5 years. Yeah, 5 years, we'll read it.
So, okay, go ahead, honey.
Chapter 1, I'm sorry, 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them, this means his brothers, that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. See, most people were so angry they could never have done this. But look what happens here. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh, they heard it in the background. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" Mm-hmm. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. When they saw what he looked like, probably had his head shaved like they did the Egyptians, and had all the stuff around the eyes, didn't even recognize him. Now, verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, I am. Joseph is a pattern of Yeshua. In the gospel, we see where he says, "I am." In one place, when they were in the garden, before they took him that night, remember, he said, "I am," and they all fell over on the ground under the anointing of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." See, he knew what God was going to do.
He was sold just like Yeshua was sold.
That's right. He knew what his purpose was and all that. He had those dreams and all about the baker and all that. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the butler.
Now, verse 6. "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest." So it was 2 years into the time of the what would you call it?
The bad time.
The drought. Now, verse 7. "And God sent me before you to preserve you," listen to this, "a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Yeshua brought a great deliverance to us, didn't he?
Didn't he?
That's right. Verse 8. "So now it was not you that sent me hither." Listen to this. This is incredible.
God.
I mean, this is amazing. "But God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will be I will nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Hear this?
That's right.
The Bible talks about...
He made them rich.
That's right. We'll never see our children begging for bread. Amen?
That's right.
Verse 12. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin. That was the one he fell on, was his younger brother. On his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. This is what you call a true reunion coming together.
This is called what you call brotherly love.
That's right.
Brotherly love.
That's right. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren also, and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, laid your beast and go. And get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, if we are willing and obedient to obey God's word, we will eat, this is it, we will eat the fat of the land, we'll have the very best. Verse 19, Now thou art commanded this do, you are commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. And also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Everything. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave what? 300 pieces of silver
and five
changes of raiment. A special blessing upon him. And so his father sent him after his manner. 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out of the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt.
Wow.
And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not.
Wow.
And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived.
Wow.
And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Isn't that incredible?
Is that incredible?
Sure is. It's just amazing what God can do. Hallelujah.
He said, don't worry about your stuff.
That's right.
There's more than enough. There's more than enough, like Heidi Baker says. There's more than enough. And he tells them, don't worry about your stuff. You know, when you come here, you're going to have the best of the best.
That's right.
And that's what God gives us, the best of the best.
Right.
It's interesting that he warns his brothers. He knew that his brothers had lots of shortcomings, I would say.
Yeah, they did.
He tells, make sure you don't go out of the way. Make sure you, basically saying, make sure you go straight home. You know, don't wander.
What a reunion they
don't
had.
Don't wander. You know, because you have some riches and money and you have all this food, don't wander. I mean, he just doesn't say that there, but I kind of see that because they had a chance, they had opportunity to do the wrong thing because they had done wrong things in the past. In other words, go straight to your dad and tell him and take these things, and tell him that what I've said.
Right.
So there was great, so Joseph loved his brothers.
Sure,
even the ones that did the worst things to him.
That's it.
He loved his brothers. There was no favoritism, I don't believe.
No.
Even though he did give Benjamin all these things, but I still feel that he didn't pick one or the other. He loved his brothers.
Yeah. Verse 7 we just read, I'm going to read that again. And God sent me, Joseph says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, save your lives by a great deliverance. Wow. What a reunion this was with his
because
brothers.
This famine was all over. It
sure
wasn't
was.
Just this famine.
Oh,
wasn't,
all through Canaan,
wasn't just
yeah.
in Egypt. It was all over.
That's right.
Because people came from all over to Egypt to get goods. So you think about it. Here's Jacob sending his sons out because they needed food. They needed things. They needed things because they were going to starve to death.
That's right.
So here we have Joseph, who, and God's all knowing. And didn't God send His only begotten Son, knowing
sure
that we would need a
Savior? That's right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you got it.
We need a Savior.
Sure do.
Thank
it's
you,
wonderful.
Lord.
Amen. I was reading a little ahead here too, Pastor Donna, in Genesis 46. It talks to you in verse 25. It says, "These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel." That was Rachel's handmaiden, his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were seven. That's interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, that came into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons, wives, all the souls were 66. 66, isn't that something? Huh? 66 is what? A score is 20.
24 to 60.
Yeah. 66, that's an interesting number. And then verse 27, and the sons of Joseph then, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. God's a good bookkeeper. That's right. It's interesting. So here we know Joseph had two sons. He had Manasseh and he had Ephraim.
And that's a good point. We could really talk about that, Ephraim. You know, a lot of people that were taken into Egypt for slaves, they were made eunuchs.
That's right.
But it's quite interesting that the sons of Jacob, Joseph did not become a eunuch.
Nope.
No, he had two sons. And of course, we're kind of getting ahead. We're going to talk about Ephraim. Maybe we should wait for another week or so. But we could back up and cover a couple more places, maybe in chapter 42
or 43. But Joseph was not made a eunuch.
He was not made a eunuch, and he did have two sons.
That's right.
And they were blessed as well.
And they were born of an Egyptian wife.
Yes, they were.
That's right. So here you have another lineage thinking about, you know, his two wives were not of Israel. But God used those two wives to bring those sons into the world, you know. He used that wife to bring in these two sons, I should say, into the world that would be used greatly in the days ahead.
I was going to do some research. I really haven't had the time to do it, but I thought, you know, remember when he first went into Egypt, he was in Potiphar's house?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, and I don't know if this is the same Potiphar, but it says here that the Pharaoh gave Joseph a wife, and of course he had two sons here, and it says that they were of the daughter of Potiphar.
Mm-hmm.
The priest of On, O-N.
It's a different, probably, it's probably a
so
different Potiphar.
So I don't know if it's a different Potiphar or not, but...
could well be, who knows?
I don't know. But he did have two sons, praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of good too, because, you know, many times they didn't have a choice to become, they were made eunuchs,
yeah.
You know?
But their names are so important. Joseph, God mm-hmm. will add, and then Benjamin's name means what? The son of the right hand. Who is that? Benjamin's a picture, pattern of Yeshua. He's the son on the right hand of the Father, right? It's incredible. I mean, it's amazing when you think about what God does with. You just look at the names. It tells you almost, it'll tell you the whole purpose of their life on this earth. It's what it's all about. Amen?
Well, you said Joseph was a picture of Yeshua.
Well, he is. I'm talking about, think about it. But Joseph was a picture of Yeshua, okay. But his brother's name was Benjamin, okay. And his name means what? The son of the right hand. So what came out of Joseph's life? We followed all the way through the Bible, the lineage, you know, what happened with all that? Yeshua came, okay? And he became what? The son on the right. He's the son on the right hand of the Father eventually at the end.
I even think about, you know, Joseph brought in his, I kind of look at it maybe a little different way. Of course, there's more than one way to look at something. Joseph was, like you said, the picture of Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Yeshua given? Has he given us? So he's given
life.
Us all, hasn't
everything.
He? Mm-hmm. He says we've been given all power and authority. Well, let's go over in the New Testament and see some of the things that Yeshua gave us. So does that not put us on his right hand?
That's right.
Like Benjamin was.
We are.
Like you said, because now that, and we're talking about this multiplication of all these people that were saved. Well, because of what Yeshua, because the Father God sent his only begotten Son. Now many can be come into the kingdom of God, and we have all the blessings of Abraham, and we're the sons and daughters of his right hand.
Amen.
So you
we're
know,
seated in heavenly places
seated,
with him too. It tells us in the Bible.
Heavenly places, and we've been given authority.
All authority, not some.
We need to use that authority that God has given us to make declarations, to do the right thing, just like Joseph did, just like the Maccabees did.
That's right. They took the authority they had and they used it.
Because there's things that are wrong in our nation, we need to be bold and stand up for what God's word says.
You got
and declare
it. And not deviate things. From it.
And pray. And that's not, right. And not, that's right. Not be persuaded or be, or compromise.
Or tell you it's not for today. That was written hundreds of years ago. This book's apropos for any age that we're living in.
A lot of people compromise. Or they make adjustments for sin.
That's right.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of things that are going on that are wrong. There's a lot of sin in our nation, and people make excuses for the
That's
sin,
right.
Mm-hmm. And they try to cover it up to make it look like it's okay.
Right.
That it's okay.
By twisting the scriptures,
or saying it, you know, well, praise the Lord, twisting the scriptures. That's exactly what they're doing. They're changing the truth of God's word into a lie, and they're rearranging the Bible, taking things out of the Bible that God commands not to do. See, there are things that God has commanded us not to do.
Let me read something you're
talking
about.
And they don't
that.
Want to talk about the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
And the Ten Commandments are being removed from many places.
That's right. In our rotundas, in every state.
In many places.
Out of our schools.
States, out of, right, off of government property.
Sure.
They want to take down crosses. They want to remove all these things. And this is happening right here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And because they want to wipe out, just like they wanted to wipe out the Jews, they want to wipe out anything that is of God.
That's
of the truth.
Don't want anything about God. I'm going to take you to 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen to what the Apostle Peter had to say here. I'm going to give you some ABCs with our Bible, always based on context. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go up to verse 13, and we're going to read a couple of verses to get down to where I want to go. Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth,
yes,
wherein dwelleth righteousness." Hear that? This is the key word.
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Everything's going to be done according to God's word. Everything. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and what?
Blameless.
Verse 15, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." The scriptures I got right here I'm reading. Now here we go. Verse 16, "As also in all his epistles, mm-hmm, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want men's opinion or some commentary. We want to know what God has to say about this and his word. "Which things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest." It's spelled W-R-E-S-T in the King James Bible. It means they twist or pervert, "as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So we have that today, don't we? Even in the churches. What Bible are they in? What are they doing? There's words been left out. There's been things changed. It gives people a wrong concept and understanding of what God wants us to know. So we look at it literally for what it says. We have to study the book that he gave us and all that.
And now they have a gender Bible.
That's right.
They want to change everything to, so they can say they have a Bible.
Right. Yeah, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, right. But it's not a holy Bible.
That's right.
It's not the truth of
my
God's
Bible
word.
Here in the front says Holy Bible.
It's not a holy Bible.
That's right.
It's a perverted Bible. It's
That's
a
right.
twisted Bible. Things have been
changed,
removed, and
right.
rearranged. Whole mm-hmm. verses are taken out. In some of these Bibles. So what do? We have to go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness.
Yeah. So let's listen to this now. This is still in 2 Peter, okay? And I'm in chapter 1 now.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says here in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, who's the day star? It's Yeshua, amen? Now listen to this now. Verse 20, knowing this first, he says, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. People can't interpret for what it's not. In other words, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see the word holy here? Most of these other Bibles have the holy removed. They don't say it. It says, but men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It says right here, they're holy. Holy. Holy.
Like because, they heard from the Holy Ghost.
They heard from the Holy Ghost.
Some people are not hearing from the Holy Ghost.
They think they are with these other translations and all that, but they're not. So we have to be careful what we read and all that. Amen?
Thank you, Father God.
So a lot of these Bibles are thinking about the one called the Message. Oh, my, help us, Lord. That's not a translation. That's a paraphrase of what people, whoever wrote that, put their mind into it. And it's not the truth of God's Word. And so when people bank their life on that, well, they're getting a wrong interpretation of what the Bible really has to say. What's going to lead them down a wide road to the wrong place. But might lead them right into hell, you know. And so God wants us to know the truth of His Word. And so what's what we have to do? I like chapter 1 here also. Verse 12 says this, wherefore I will not be negligent, Peter says, to put you always, not sometimes, always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be what? Established in the what? The present truth. This book that I have in my hand right now, this is present truth. It was present truth in Peter's day, and it's present truth today. We have to grab hold of it. Amen? And walk in it.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
So we see where we're at in the world today, and there's so many misconceptions, false religious systems. The belief systems are incredible, and we know that the enemy is behind the majority of those, and lies to people, and people believe the lies, instead of just taking this book and say, Lord, I'm going to read this, I'm going to put it in my heart, and that's going to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
As the renewed covenant said in Jeremiah, he was going to give them a covenant that they would write in their hearts. It wouldn't be on tablets of stone, but we have it on these pages of this Bible. We put these words in our heart, and what happens? We're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to mature. We're going to grow up. We won't deviate from the left to the right. We won't fall around looking for some place where we're going to get our ears tickled or whatever, something new to hear. No, just take the word that we have right here and we run with it. We run with it with all of our power and might, because He's the one that's going to show us what we're going to do, how to do it, when to do it, what to say, what not to say, and all the other things that God would want us to know. Because He's amazing, isn't He? He's an amazing God. So we have to learn how to listen to Him. Listen to Him. And most people don't normally know how to listen to God. You know, they'll sit there and maybe pray a while. And next thing you know, they're just in their mind and they're thinking what they want to think instead of saying, Lord, just show me here. Show me by your Spirit. Like I've talked about this book I've written about the God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah. There was times in that book when I wrote that book that I didn't know what to do. I looked through all these books I used to have and I got rid of all those, thank God, but I couldn't get an answer. I could have made something up or what I thought the Scripture says, but I didn't do that. So I laid it all down and I said, all right, Lord, I need your help. I'm asking the Holy Ghost to show me what to write here, because the Holy Ghost was sent to teach us about things to come and also to comfort us, encourage us. And so as I did those things and quit thinking on myself and what other books or some other man had to say, what happened? I got the answer to a lot of those things. It came right out of the Bible. It fit right in with the Word of God. And so that's what we have to learn how to do. Do we believe this book or do we not? Or do we just take some of it and then we throw the rest of it away? No. Is this book a suggestion? No, it's not a suggestion. It's our life. It's our lifeline. That's what it is. It's an anchor to our soul, as it says over in Hebrews and all that. And Jesus is the anchor of our soul also. And so we have to keep that all in mind. If we just remember how important the Word of God is, if we'll just remember how important.
You know, Joseph had a lot of these attributes that's in 1 Peter.
That's right.
We don't have time to read all of them, but you guys can read 1 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And says, I just want to read this one, a couple of verses here in verse 6. It says, he had knowledge, didn't he?
That's right.
It says, and to knowledge, temperance. He had temperance. And to temperance, patience. He had a lot of patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I'm thinking about his family. And to brotherly kindness, charity. He was generous, very generous. And for these things be in you, for if these things be in you and abound, and they did abound in Joseph, and make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful.
That's right.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
He was fruitful.
Yes, Lord.
He was fruitful in knowledge and all the other things, you know, that God blesses His people with. God certainly took care of him. And you know, we all have a calling. And even here, verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Joseph fulfilled his calling and his election, didn't he?
He sure did.
In troubled times, even when things didn't look like they were going his way,
mm-hmm.
he didn't complain. He believed in the Lord. He trusted the Lord. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
That's right.
You shall never fall.
So I'm reminded in 2 Timothy here,
thank you,
chapter
Lord.
2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy, study. It doesn't mean to be diligent. It means to study the word of God, mm-hmm. to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Are we all workmen? I hope so. That needeth not to be ashamed. And why? Because we're going to rightly divide the word of truth. And then I thought about chapter 3, verse 6. I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Listen to this now. And that from a child, Paul's telling Timothy again, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. None of this New Testament is written. It was all based on the first covenant.
That's right.
To make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, it didn't say some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God, by his spirit, huh? And is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. That the man of God, or they say a woman of God, huh? May be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished, I should say, unto what? All good works. Yeah, they're going to be furnished, all right. They have their furniture in the right place. So they're going to be furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah.
And Peter said that we are to be established in present truth.
That's right.
In present truth. So we need to know the truth.
And this book is the present truth for no matter when people live. 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, this is still the truth.
This is the truth.
It's never changed and it never will change. Man might think so, you know, but that's it.
So stay in the truth.
That's right. And the politicians think this has all been done away with. This is a myth that was written years and years ago. And some of them have a thought about the Lord and all that. But they're not walking with the Lord, because if they did, they wouldn't be passing these bills that we have and all the stuff that's going on.
That's right.
And so they have walked away from God. And so we have to pray that somehow, as we pray, that God will do something, bring something in this country. I don't know how it's going to happen, that there'll be a wake-up call, that people's going to realize that we need to embrace every word that God has put in this book for our lives. And if not, this country will fail. And we started off with the word of God. So why have we got away from it? Because we're doing what man wants instead of what God has asked us to do. Go read the Constitution. I read this here several weeks ago. Read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. And you'll see how far we've gone. All right, Pastor, we're running out of time.
Amen. We need to follow the Lord.
All the time and everything.
Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio program, WCNO, every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 o'clock noon until 1 p.m. We also have services here in Stuart, Florida, and we have Friday night service, Saturday afternoon, and also Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to know more information about us, give us a call. We'd be glad to talk to you or send you some information. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007.
So, Lord, we thank you for giving these people life with your word. So as we close this program, we tell everyone to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.